Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Roger.
Oh, you didn't give a countdown. Good day, Internet.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, I totally forgot to count us down, didn't I? And I actually thought as I did it, like, don't I usually count us in? Wonder why I do that. And now I remember.
But the only my audio recording will start off with me saying good day, Internet.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. If we have to rely on your recording, then you get to do that. And we start with this little shtick in here.
Shtick. Don't hit me with your shtick.
They put me in the mix. So it should be a tiny bit less echoey in here today because I put a rug down. I think I need another rug, though, because I also moved a bunch of stuff around that was also absorbing sound. So, we'll see.
Do you have thick drapes or curtains?
No. No, we've been over this. Or maybe it was when Amos was here, but I've got louvers over there, so I have to. Have to do a lot of other stuff to make up for it.
Get moving blankets, or just blankets.
Yeah, I had a blanket up on the closet door, facing towards me, but I took it down this morning when I was moving some stuff around. Maybe if I put that back, that can't be a permanent solution though. I think putting books up. Just filling the room more will help.
Ficus. Put a lot of ficus.
I don't want to get leaves everywhere, though.
It's not like they shed like on a weekly basis.
Really? Ficus. You've never had a ficus, have you?
The ficus is not what I think it is.
The ficus is the one that just drops leaves like crazy, in my experience.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of a different plant then. I'm thinking of it's like a
tree with tiny green leaves.
It's a lot of plants.
No.
It's so what we used to have was a potted plant, but it had like long, narrow, pointy leaves on it,
mm-hmm.
on a very skinny stalk.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a ficus.
Yeah.
No, but it rhymed with micus.
No, just in my experience, and maybe I just don't have the luck of the ficus. but they every time I've had one, and I'll admit I've only had one twice in my life, they just shed leaves like nuts.
Tom, I'm in love with your new setup, and I'm very excited to see it come together. But it very much feels like right now you are, because your new office has natural light, right?
Does a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because it very much feels like you are just emerging from a very controlled light set to a more...
It's different today, too, and I can't put my finger on why, because I haven't changed the color temp of the lights. Alexa, turn off studio. Go off. There we go. Okay. This is it with everything off.
Yeah. See, because you're still getting.
Yeah,
that
you can aspect. See all that natural light coming in from the louvers over there. It must be there's. Oh, you know what? I wonder if the guy came in and was doing some trimming. I wonder if he trimmed away more branches and there's more light coming in now.
Maybe. I like it though. I think you should steer into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure I turned on someone else's studio earlier. I realized that.
Yeah, luckily I haven't named my...
About 10% of the time it goes, I'm sorry, I can't find a device named Stereo.
Yeah.
So I may end up changing it myself. Also want to get the fancy backlighting like you got, where I can change the colors.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. These are just two hue lights.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a lot accent-wise.
Mm-hmm.
The hues are not fantastic. Like, these are them on either side of my face, and I'm kind of constantly trying to balance out.
Yeah.
Like how I should balance them out on my face, because you have to have them like right next to them, like right next to your head for them to really show up. But it's kind of necessary between Ashley and I, because we have such different skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
Both use this.
I intend to put the hair lights back in at some point, and I can't decide if I want to use the old ones or if I want to get some kind of.
Hi.
You. Hey, what's up, Sarah Lane?
Oh, nothing much. How's everybody?
We're doing bonkers.
Okay.
Bunker.
We're well chuffed.
Yes.
Perfect. Great.
I've been cleaning things up in the studio because I'm going to do a DTNS Labs interview later today with Ashley Robinson.
Cool.
I'm feeling good. Feeling like a real room now instead of half a room with me looking out at a stack of boxes.
Well, it sounds great.
Lovely. Even have a carpet down.
Did you feel like there was echoing going on?
Yeah, there still is a little bit. We were talking about that earlier.
Hey, Senator, do you mind saying a couple of lines?
Sure. I had a godmother sandwich for lunch today.
I think you have like a connector issue. It's not a hangout. It's not a hangout thing. It just sounds like there's a little short somewhere.
It's pretty subtle. I didn't even notice it.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No, I didn't.
No.
But I ain't got the eagle ears.
Say the same line. Oh, no. Say what you said before.
I had a really good sandwich today that was a 13-pound sandwich.
Oh.
And it was...
Yeah, sounds good.
13 okay. pounds.
Wait, so you actually...
I'm
embellishing?
No. You gotta go with it. You gotta commit. Yes, it was 13 pounds and I ate every crumb.
It was probably... 4 pounds.
Really? That thing's... I've had that. That's the one I had, right?
You had the small godmother.
Ah, you went for the full size. I see.
If I'm going to get the godmother, I'm going to get the large. Yeah, I mean, it's...
No half very, a godmother for you.
Very big sandwich.
That's just a mother.
Justin, how are you?
I'm doing good. This is a welcome reprieve from doing nothing but watching politically fraught political hearings all morning. So I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Literally, the only thing I've done today is watch like the first alert that was on my phone when I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning was the Washington Post Twitch account saying that they were going live, and they literally just had the live feed of janitors vacuuming in the Senate hearing room until they went live. And then I ate breakfast. I took a walk. I've done nothing but this and the few interactions we've had on Slack. So I'm very excited to kind of,
I hear you. I was on Twitter briefly at like 7 a.m. and then I was like, and I'm off. Can't do it. Can't do it today.
You know, I'm super pumped to talk about Apple and TiVo and Facebook. Here's something I never thought I'd say. I'm thrilled to talk about Facebook security practices. Interact with their advertising.
Ah, you're in the right place then. Boy, do we have something for you.
What's that you say?
Need a reprieve? Oh, Sarah, I you probably saw it, but just speaking of reprieve. Okay, good. Well,
yep.
Yep.
Well, I missed everybody yesterday, and
we missed you too.
Let me take that day off.
Of course,
it's been an interesting zoo situation here at the Studio Feline. Well, so my dog and my cat fought yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And my cat is actually, he's the tougher one of the two, but my dog is physically able to
literally maybe 10 times as large.
My cat. Yeah. So, we had to do a little vet visit and it was just sucked. But
everybody's okay now, right?
Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's fine.
All right. fighting like cats and dogs, I guess. I mean,
well, so I actually, the vet suggested, my cats don't wear collars, but because they don't go outside.
Yeah.
But the vet suggested a pheromone collar that can like really mellow out a cat when he or she is kind of having a something's up. So we're going to try that.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think, Odie?
He's like, I don't know. I didn't do anything.
He's like, I'm just a large dog. But I really love everyone. Please love me back.
Why don't cats love dogs? Can't we fix this? Can't we all just get along?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otis is going to be the Kofi Annan of cat-dog relations.
You mean sort of likable, but ultimately kind of a lame duck?
Oh, just stop. Just did you have to? Roger. Did you run into people and go like, let me smash your birthday cake here. Too? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Raj, how is little Jesse doing?
Very fussy. It's a fussy Jesse.
Yeah, as a newborn tends to be.
Do we want to add that Tesla is being charged with fraud by the SEC?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, crap.
Yeah, okay. We should definitely do that.
That's Bloomberg.
I got the Reuters one. I'll throw that in.
All right.
That's probably worth a...
Do you want to drop one of the...
Discussion. Yeah. That's
worth a discussion. Well, what was the weaker one? One of those last two. TiVo or screen time? You guys...
I say drop TiVo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TiVo's really more of a quick hit. I put it in because I have things I can say, but it's not as wide-ranging. Okay. So, let me... I'm doing a little editorial reorder here, Roger, and it's going to mess up your times.
Oh, okay.
So, just give me 1 second.
Stream started just so everyone knows.
Oh, hi, Stream.
Hey, Stream. How's it going? Well, it's real foggy out here at the beach today, which is not a bad thing.
Is it still foggy right now? Like overcast?
Yeah. Sun never came out. And not cold, but sort of, it's starting to feel slightly wintry, which is nice.
You can do times now, Roger.
All right. Time a toad.
Be right back.
You guys carry on. I'm going to write this up.
You got it.
So, Justin, about your beard.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, just trying to start up a conversation about your beard.
Yeah, my beard. I'm thinking about taking it down. I got a wedding next weekend, so I'm due for a little bit of a haircut and a beard trim, but I'm thinking about going fairly short, like having the reign of the big, the mountain man beard kind of taken down to a respectable level.
Yeah, is that still like a thing? The big bushy.
Hey, Roger, 2 minutes on that Tesla, I think, because there's not much known quite yet.
Got it.
No, it's pretty much just it happened, and it happened for the reason that you would assume it happened, and that was rumored for it to have happened.
Yeah, and we don't even have a copy of the actual.
I got it.
The actual complaint.
The United States District Court, Southern District of New York.
Do you have a copy, like the actual filing?
Like, yeah, I can send here. I'll put it in the.
Yeah, put that in the Slack.
It's a scribd in the CNBC.
Awesome. Good job, CNBC. Scooped up Reuters.
CNBC is kind of on it lately.
Wait, where's just... Oh, there it is. All right, I'm going to put this in.
All right. Good.
Flynn.
Tom, how's the house besides the studio?
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like trying to take a look at this at the same time.
I'm making conversation.
That's okay.
Tell me something real casual.
Well, you know, one thing I love about the house is it's a great place to read the filing in the United States District Court about the SEC.
Perfect.
Regarding Elon Musk.
Seems like you got the right house.
No, yesterday I had the electrician over and fixed an outlet that had gone bad, and we hooked up our lights. We have these Edison lights in the backyard, and so we sat out there and had a little glass of wine.
It's going well. Nice. Yeah. Really nice.
Ultimately,
same
instrument on August 7th regarding taking tickets. Twitter falsely indicated that she by engaging in conduct alleged in this complaint, Musk violated and, unless restrained and enjoined, will violate again, it says.
Right. I will kill again.
Ms. Lane, would you care to read the opening statement?
I would.
On line
three.
I would. Okay.
I would.
Let's go in 25.
Okay.
And Justin, you ready?
I'm ready to roll.
All right. 15 seconds. 15 seconds to read your script. Here we go. And it's going to be fun. I'm going to love it. You're going to love it. Everybody's going to love it. Here we go.
Everyone's
6.
Gonna love it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, September 27th, 2018. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And from the fringes of the LA Empire, I'm Roger J.
We have got a little breaking news to talk about regarding Tesla. We're going to get into speculation about what all we think Amazon's up to with retail as they go and venture out beyond just bookstores. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
That reprieve for classic Skype is about to end. Wow. Microsoft says it will stop supporting Skype 7.0 on the desktop November 1st and on mobile starting on November 15th. It will still be usable for a little while. That's the company's terms. After that, according to an editor's note on the blog.
Estonia's police and border guard board is requiring ID card producer Gemalto to pay €152 million penalty after 700,000 ID cards were found to have generated the card's code keys in a way that they could be stolen. Private codes should be generated on the card's chip to ensure security.
And security researchers at Duo discovered a vulnerability in the Apple interface used to enroll Apple devices in mobile device management systems, or MDMs, something you use in the enterprise when you want to have a bunch of company iPhones all enrolled at the same time. You can roll out your custom apps, etc. The researchers spoofed serial numbers of enrolled devices to connect malicious devices. They were pretending to be the enrolled devices. And then they were able to do all kinds of stuff. Look at company mail, et cetera. Gain basically trusted access. Apple's device enrollment protocol supports authentication, but it doesn't require it. So if you make it happen, then you wouldn't be vulnerable to this. But since Apple doesn't force you to, a company might not have it turned on. The researchers warn that serial numbers alone should not be relied on to let devices join corporate networks. All right, let's talk about this breaking news, Justin.
Yes, the U.S. Security and Exchange Commission has filed a lawsuit on Thursday against Tesla CEO Elon Musk, alleging securities fraud. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan. Happened for the reason that you think. Yeah. Going private at 420, funding secured. Turns out that is fraud in the eyes.
And the case says, in truth and in fact, Musk had not even discussed, much less confirmed, key deal terms, including price, with any potential funding source. So coming in hard with this filing. They're not saying like, well, this kind of went over the line. They're saying this was fraud, plain and simple. Now it's up to a court to decide if they're right with those claims. But this is not a tepid response.
No, it is not. Musk has explained that whole fiasco, which obviously did not happen, that this was there were advanced talks with the Saudi Arabian Wealth Fund, for which I assume, considering how much money they're sitting on, probably felt that there was not going to be much of a haggling at a fairly at the price that he set. But still, rules are rules, and this is what the SEC is going to sue him for.
Yeah, and Musk still believes that what he said wasn't false. He is like, yeah, no, I had it mostly arranged, but, and this is why you have courts, there's a difference between what you intend and what people read. Anybody who studies semiotics, you know, knows it as signed, signal, and signified. What Musk may have meant doesn't matter. It's what people thought he meant when they read his statements. And it makes a pretty compelling case in this filing that what he said was, in fact, misleading.
An Australian teenager who hacked Apple systems over several months and downloaded sensitive data has avoided jail time. Now, the adult was 16 years old at the time that the hacking began, so was a minor at the time, accessed Apple's internal systems and copied around a terabyte of data and authentication keys, a magistrate told a children's court in Australia. Now, Apple contacted the FBI and Australian police, subsequently raided his home. Apple then said the customer's personal data, that customer's personal data was not compromised and that staff had discovered the unauthorized access, contained it, and reported it to law enforcement.
This is the hacky hack kid, right? That was the name of the folder that he stored stuff in. I mean,
well, and the whole, you know, his defense attorney, you know, sort of said like he was a child. He's just like really into Apple and was like so excited about Apple that he, you know, wanted to see how far he could get, which is not necessarily false, but the fact that he was a minor at the time is working in his favor very much so.
This is pure 80s style hacking. This is this is not malicious hacking. This is hacking. I'm comfortable calling this hacking because even though he broke the law, he didn't mean to hurt anyone. He wasn't out to leak this stuff, sell this stuff. And I'm not trying to justify it or say he shouldn't, pay for the crime or whatever. But this is someone who really just wanted to see what he could do. And once he got in, kind of got high on the like, man, I'm kind of like an Apple employee right now. How cool is that? I understand that is what I'm saying.
Well, this is the happy ending, right? Rules are rules. You violate the law, you do need to face repercussions. But like you said, it's not like he immediately went to some board where he was trying to sell the information. As far as all available law enforcement investigation into this can turn up, this was him trying to prove his hacking prowess. I'm glad he's avoiding jail time for that crime.
Yeah, we don't know his name. It's protected by Australian law. But there would be a free hacky hack kid campaign if he went to jail, and this is a better way to treat it.
Also, you know, Apple maybe hire him. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey folks, this is a big story today. If an advertiser has legitimate info about you, Facebook lets that advertiser target people who list that info in Facebook. So for example, you've given your phone number to the plumber, and the plumber has a list of phone numbers of his clients and goes to Facebook and says, hey, I want to advertise a 20% coupon to everybody who has this phone number. So far, so good. But Facebook only knows your phone number by your admission if it's in your profile info, which some people do that. Not everybody does, but some people do that. However, Facebook also will use info you provided for security reasons and info that other people have about you in their context that maybe you never gave Facebook. In the first case, you're giving info for a single and important purpose, security, and it's being targeted to you, to advertised to you. In the other case, you gave it to a friend and you don't have any control over it being used to target you. And in fact, Facebook claims it would be illegal to give you control because that's information in somebody else's profile. Garrett Hari, Venkadari, Pyotr Sapiensky, and Alan Mislove of Northeastern University, along with Elena Lucarini of Princeton University, tested this thoroughly and report their findings in a paper published in the Proceedings on Privacy-Enhancing Technologies. So this isn't a BuzzFeed report, has a source who says, this is, we tried it out rigorously using controlled circumstances where we only knew this phone number would show up if it was causing one of these things to happen. A Facebook spokesperson said, We use the information people provide to offer a more personalized experience, including showing more relevant ads. And users can, and I'll add should, use something besides a phone number for two-factor authentication if they wish.
Well, okay, so the fact that Facebook is doing this, once Facebook's statement is like, we're not denying that this is happening, but here's why we're doing it, and it's because it's for, you know, the greater good of our users and data in general. Okay, well, so how should they have done this differently? Should they have spelled out a little bit more clearly? Yeah, if you do like 2FA for, you know, with a phone number or something like that, or you give this information to a friend, this might end up in an advertiser's territory, and you didn't know about it. I mean, how could they have?
Don't use it.
Communicated it differently.
Don't use it.
No.
Period. When I'm using giving a phone number for a security purpose, that is the only reason to use that phone number. That is it. It's for security only. Nothing else.
Well, okay. So, but so my question stands is Facebook should have said, this is going to be used in a different way. Are you okay with this? They didn't.
At the very least, if they're going to do it anyway, they should have told you. Yeah.
When you set up 2FA, which is another step that people have to take, and that there are many ways that you can do 2FA on Facebook. One of them is with your phone number, that they should have some sort of little checkbox that lets you know, hey, I heretofore understand that this will be used to target relevant.
But
to make,
honestly, that will dissuade
that experience.
That will dissuade people from setting up security. Yeah.
Here's my thing to you, though. This, yes, you can complain ad nauseum why it does not benefit the scorpion to sting the frog in the middle of the pond. But
I think this is different though. This is playing with security. It's one thing to say like, hey, we're Facebook. Of course, we're going to advertise to you. And it's another thing to actually use something that requires trust. Like this is for security for a business purpose. For me, well over the line. Scorpion.
Even stuff as silly as like, what's your birthday? Don't worry. We won't post this anywhere. We'll never go to your newsfeed. It's just, you know, it's just for us to know that
it's
you're
going into the profile. That's different. Like, that's like, yeah, hey, you're given this stuff in exchange for this, but security information should be firewalled for multiple reasons.
So you're telling me I shouldn't be targeted ads because I knew my mother's maiden name. Like I shouldn't be getting, ads for doilies about like mom's maiden name is.
If they do the backup security questions are stupid anyway. But if they're like, you know, what was your first pet? Yeah, they shouldn't be targeting you on your first pet. They shouldn't be using that to data mine you.
Yeah, no, that's
shouldn't be havoc the fish forever.
Also, the other one is more nefarious, where it's like, I have no control over, I gave Justin my phone number, right? Justin uploads his contacts to Facebook without asking me. Why should he? He was using it to make it easier to use Facebook. And now Facebook is targeting me with that information, which I have no control over. And they tell me we can't give you control over it. That one gets me too.
The problem that Facebook faces is that as people learn more about how they make money, and learn more about ad targeting, I believe the more they will be freaked out about it. And on these edge cases where, yes, there is a good moral debate, I think these are the matches that light a much larger fire that an educated a user base can react to.
And I don't think the security one's a moral debate, but we could go on forever about that.
Sure. We just had a moral debate. All right, moving on. A research study, the Lancet Child and Adolescent Health Journal, found that children aged 8 to 11 who limit recreational use of screens for less than 2 hours a day performed better in tests of mental ability. The study only found a correlation that indicates further study is needed to discover causes and differentiate among type of recreational screen use. There was some indication that video games and educational videos might have cognitive benefits. The study surveyed 4,500 children with a questionnaire and administered cognitive tests.
So really, it's not that the screen time is harmful. It's that too much screen time is seeming to be harmful.
Right.
And that's actually, you know, and that's an interesting thing. It's like, well, I mean, none of us are children, but I mean, even as adults, I think that there's there's a lot of merit to the idea. Sorry, not to be punny, but there's a lot to take away from the idea of, yes, having this information is helpful. Yes, gaming can be good for your cognitive skills, but too much of it may take away from other things.
Well, and it's not just too much, it's the type, right? In fact, what they found was that video games might actually have cognitive benefits. And that's the other thing is, this is a study that found a correlation. They're not saying any of it means anything yet. They're saying this indicates that maybe you should limit screen time if you want to be safe, and we should proceed with more studies and more rigorous studies to figure out exactly what all of this means. But at the very least, it's that outside of educational stuff, limiting screen time probably on the safe side of things.
I also wonder how much of this is also a leading indicator of a relationship between parents or children being acknowledged that larger screen time could often also mean that they're not being engaged by their family, that at least on the level of somebody that does not have that kind of screen time. So I think that this is an interesting set, an interesting data point. But I do wonder what we're going to learn the fuller picture of.
Yeah, the indications that video games and educational videos might have cognitive benefits would be that differentiator of, like, is it just that they're using a screen, or is it what they're doing on it?
As the one parent here, I will say that screen time is always on the top of my mind, and the reasons for it are like a multitude of reasons, right? If your babysitter's out and you gotta do work with your kid, you're gonna give your kid a tablet to keep them busy while you're doing work. If they're sick from school and can't go to school, can't engage with other kids, teachers, you're going to give them a tablet or something to keep them busy, in the same way that you used to babysit your kids with TVs. It's not an ideal situation, but is one of a multitude of things that parents will do in order to manage the situation as best they can.
Consumer Reports is recommending Microsoft Surface PCs after last year not recommending them because of what it considered poor predicted reliability in comparison with laptops from other brands. So, tables have turned. The Surface Pro, the 2017 model, the Surface Laptop, and the Surface Book 2 do score well enough to be recommended, Consumer Reports now says. However, the Surface Go continued to get docked for poor performance and battery life.
I think you meant the surfaces have been turned, not just the ones.
The Surface.
I mean, yeah, this is good news. I actually really liked my Surface Book, and I remember when Paul Thurrott was out there complaining about it being buggy, because there were some problems with USB, there were problems with device drivers and blue screens of death. I just never really ran into them that often. Not saying I never ran into them. I can't imagine if it's even more reliable than that. This is maybe I should go back and try out a Surface Book too, because I really liked the Surface Book as it was, and it was a little slow and the power fan ran too often and stuff like that. So this is great news for Microsoft.
Sure. I think obviously there is a place for the Surface line for a lot of people that are fully plugged into a PC ecosystem, and I'm glad that Consumer Reports is recommending them. However, I don't know. I know that you have, Tom, you know this probably more than anybody, as somebody who has been at this tech news game for a very long time. Consumer Reports, more or less news stories in the last 5 years about them not recommending stuff than previous 5 years, or the same?
That's a good question. I wouldn't want to answer it without taking a look. The perception is very much what you're hinting at with your question, yes. You know, is that there are more of them, but I don't know if that's just because we have more technology devices now, and so maybe we're seeing those stories crop up as technology becomes more mainstream. Hey folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, Amazon announced the Amazon 4-star store, which honestly to me sounds like it ought to be like a donut shop or a restaurant.
Well, but, and also, like, wouldn't it be a 5-star? Well,
no, Amazon 4-star noodles.
Right. It's like 4-star meaning not 5-star?
Not 5-star. I know. There's that aspect too, right? Like, so it's the stuff that's okay. It's pretty good. It's better than average.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to have a 5-star corner. You have to be this tall to ride.
And I guess the average is well above 4 of the products. But let me get to the point of the store. It's opening in New York, and nothing below 4 stars rated on Amazon gets in the store unless it's a top seller or it's new and trending on Amazon. They'll make some exceptions in those cases, but most of those are usually 4 stars as well. Store is open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Sundays. It's on Spring Street in Soho. Shoppers who are Prime members will pay the Amazon.com price for their purchases. If you're not a Prime member, though, you pay list price, which is almost always more expensive, although they'll sign you up to be a Prime member right there in the store. So there you go. It's a very expensive loss leader to get you to sign up for Amazon Prime. But yeah, the idea is like we know these are the things New Yorkers are buying. So we're going to have a section on like hot trending items in New York. We know that these are just totally good items overall on the Amazon store. So we're going to stock that stuff. It makes sense from that end going in. Does it make sense as a shopper as to why you decide to go into this store?
Well, you know, you mentioned Spring Street in Soho, Tom, and which is that anybody who hasn't been to Manhattan, it's a huge shopping area. There's, you know, all the boutiques are down in Soho. So the idea that you would get a lot of foot traffic into the store, that's part of it. If you can convert a lot of people who are not Prime members to being Prime members because they're going to get a discount because they're already there, you know, and they want to buy this item that's, you know, 4 stars or, you know, new and trending or whatever. Okay, that's fine. The loss leader part of it is real, but Amazon's got the money. So it seems to me that Amazon is saying, all right, let's put a store in a huge traffic area and see how many people we can convert into Prime members.
I am here for every inch of this gimmickry because that's what I think it is. The idea of the 4-star thing is something that is just, it's a conversation starter. It implies, oh, this is quality. This isn't just Amazon trying to put stuff in there. It also gets away from, we talked earlier about Facebook and the idea of a user base understanding exactly how ads get targeted to you. It leads away from Amazon saying, we know what you want. Come and buy it from us, which is a creepier kind of initial selling point. So it just says, look, we know quality. Enough people have bought all these things that your fellow
peers, other humans like you.
Yeah, right, right.
That they have decided that this is it. We have long talked about what an Amazon retail play was. And we began to see it with the bookstores. We obviously saw a gigantic purchase in Whole Foods, and we have another story about that we can get to in a second. But I think that Amazon should get creative with stuff like this. Instead of going headlong into, now here's the Amazon does Best Buy thing, then do fun ideas like this. I think that it is a great idea for Amazon.
It's the boutique shop. As soon as Sarah used those words, it all fell into place for me. And folks who haven't been to Spring Street like sections, which exist in most major cities, I've seen it in St. Louis and I've seen it in Detroit. It's not just a New York thing. There are those shops that just have lots of cool, funky items, and they'll have a little kitchen section and they'll have a little pets section, and it's, you know, lots of clothes, nifty clothes, and French pillows that are way over expensive. This is that store. This is Amazon's version of that store. Like, here's cute, cool, funky items that usually are curated by a person who runs the store who has great taste. In this case, it's curated by Amazon employees who are looking at the incredibly long list of 4-star and above items and picking stuff. And by the way, there's a little red herring going on out there where people are like, oh, so if I game the system, I can get in the store. Granted, they are not going to pick up. No. Just because you get 4 stars or above doesn't mean you get in the store. They're going to be picking what goes in there.
Although, if it did match what they wanted to sell and they could get it in quantity, which is another reason, then it gives them the ability to take advantage of a viral kind of moment like that.
Sure, sure. So what else, before we move on, what else could they do? So they've got a boutique shop, they've got a bookstore, they've got a grocery store in Whole Foods.
They have multiple grocery stores.
Yeah,
right. Amazon Go.
Yeah. They've got Amazon Go, right, yeah.
this whole idea of having a brick and mortar store in a, you know, in an area of New York where you got a lot of tourists, you got a lot of foot traffic, you got a lot of people who at least come in and browse. Well, you can't have all of Amazon's store in there. Is it going to be a grocery store? Well, no, that doesn't really make sense either, right? Because most people are, you know, they're trying to buy, you know, stuff, right? Not groceries. So it makes sense that Amazon was like, okay, well, how do we limit this to something that we could put into a store that makes sense? We'll call it the four-star store. It's all the, you know, the stuff that's really popular on Amazon, which is kind of funny because Amazon, the whole idea is that it's like what's popular for Justin or Tom might not be popular for me, and that's fine. And that's how Amazon works really well. But the best of the best.
Well, and they're also doing these items are often purchased together in store.
Yeah. That too.
So you can pick them up as a bundle. I think a hardware store would be a good play for them.
Oh, you want to know what? I was actually thinking.
And that's probably a lot of the four-star stuff.
Well, yeah.
I'm thinking office supplies. It's like a lot of the essential stuff that they do their own version of. Because you wouldn't have to have a ton of foot space, unlike a Office Max or a whatever. Like you could literally just have a little like, hey, what do I need? Gigantic reams of paper? Come on over. Pick it up in two seconds.
Clothing shop. You know, they have a lot of Amazon Basics clothing. Real quickly, before we move on, Gizmodo obtained a 45-minute video sent from Amazon to Whole Foods team leaders advising them how to combat union organization, saying our business model is built upon speed, innovation, and customer obsession, things that are generally not associated with unions.
Man, they might have a point, but you're gonna upset some people by saying
don't expect there to be union shops in any of these retail outlets.
Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. It's our union of sorts, but we're, you know, don't strike. Just keep submitting stories and voting on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook. In fact, you don't have to choose between the two. You can hang on both places. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
And go email there, us. Do the emails and Sarah will read one like this one.
Correct. We read an email from Rohan yesterday. I wasn't on the show, but said Google was missing out on the smart home market by focusing on the tech instead of the functionality. In response, Eric wrote in today and said, I also think that Google's missing an opportunity on a smart home product I would love to see. They're in a unique position to create it. Google makes the Nest Protect smoke detector, a mesh Wi-Fi system, and a smart assistant. I'd love to see these three things combined into one product. One device you can mount on the ceiling in most rooms. It would give you a house-wide smoke detection, mesh Wi-Fi, and smart assistant, especially if Google could find a way to price this device in the range of $200 to $250.
I like this idea. The voice assistant kind of goes without saying with all this smart stuff and definitely would need to be included, but having smoke detector, carbon monoxide detectors that are also mesh Wi-Fi repeaters. I don't know if there's logistical reasons why you couldn't do that, but that makes so much sense to me. If my Eero's were also carbon monoxide detectors, that just saves me a few outlets and stuff that batteries I'd have to change and stuff. Love this.
I do too. Thank you very much, Eric, for the follow-up. And thank you also to Justin Robert Young for being with us this fine Thursday. Justin, what has been going on with you?
I don't know if everybody's noticed, but there's a big political brouhaha today.
And what?
And every day.
All about it.
You don't say.
Yeah, in my free political newsletter. You can get that at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. This would also be a good time to subscribe to my politics podcast, Politics, Politics, Politics. All you got to do is go to your pod catcher or pod place of choice and search for Politics, Politics, Politics. If you see a little bird on it, then that's me. And we're going to have a little bonus episode that'll go up today with my reaction to both sides of the hearing and my thought on whether or not we will have a new Supreme Court justice over the next few days. Go ahead and check it out.
So yesterday, I thanked everyone for pushing us up above the mark of having one more patron than last month. And said, let's see how many more we can have. And we immediately lost five people. So maybe I should just project more panic. We are still one more patron than last month, but will it last? We have to sustain it for three more days. Anyway, there's lots of cool reasons to support us directly. Please explore them at patreon.com/DTNS. And Don't forget, I'm going to be at the Outlier Podcast Festival September 30th at 1 p.m. in Los Angeles doing a workshop on preparing content for your podcast. Check it out at outliercs.com. That's OutlierCS.com.
We love your feedback. Our email address is a great way to give us feedback. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. If you can join us live, it's a lot of fun. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
It's our September roundtable tomorrow. We're going to be talking hardware with Ryan Shrout, Patrick Norton, and Len Peralta will be there too. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I don't know what happened,
but
that show was only 28 minutes and 49 seconds long.
Wait, really?
Right on time.
I didn't.
Ended right
no, I know. I didn't even think about it till just now when I pressed the stop button. I'm like,
yeah, I thought we went long.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too.
I thought we were right on time.
I thought so too. Yeah. If anything, I thought we were like 31, 32, not like super long, but
yeah, because I thought the Facebook, the red light was on for Facebook
yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you guys went like 2.5 minutes over on that.
I know. Oh well. Hey.
And then we didn't really get in touch.
Time
on
flies
evening.
When you're having fun.
Magnets, maybe. How do they work?
Maybe we've bent space-time.
That's probably
space
it.
Time.
Isn't that like the standard sci-fi trope?
It's about time.
We're outside of space-time.
I've become unstuck in time.
Story is, I don't know what to make of it.
Angela Lansbury? I'm not hearing very well. What?
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk.
I'm not reading a story about Angela Lansbury, but I hope she's doing great.
I'm sure she is.
I went into a little deep dive about Angela Lansbury. Not
and her relationship
ago,
with securities.
Well, in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Within the last like 3 years. Like that lady is killing
it. No, she is still up and about doing shows and doing events and things. It's amazing. And she's 90 something.
Let's see. Born 92 years old.
92. Well, you know.
She's up there with Betty White and like, you know, someone who's seen how many? Like at least three generations of actors.
Now, when Murder, She Wrote was on the air for the first time, were we all watching it?
Yeah.
My mother was.
I never did.
I didn't,
it was a little too old for me.
I didn't seek it out, but it was being watched and I was always interested when it was on.
I don't mean old, just like it was adult in a way where I was like,
I watched it because my mom watched it.
Yeah, that's kind of
it was part of the that and the Matlock Power Hours.
Ah, Matlock, right. Yeah.
Another aged person who solved crimes.
Well, okay, so it was like Murder, She Wrote, Matlock, L.A. Law? Was that the same kind of time period?
I would say so, yeah. So Murder, She Wrote airs from 1984 to 1996. Hello.
Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's quite a run. Okay.
But then 1997, she's just been at the theater.
Well, Angela, I salute you.
Her most recently, in December 2017, Lansbury took the role of Aunt March in the BBC television episode miniseries Little Women.
Oh, Little Women.
Oh, also, she's in the new Mary Poppins Returns.
She's not.
With Dick Van Dyke, who's also in it.
What was the Disney movie she was
in? Who is she? She's not Mary Poppins.
Wait a minute. Did she reprise her character from Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Oh, my God. I'm here for that. That was my favorite.
Come here, buddy.
That would be great if she played that same character.
Number one, how Bedknobs and Broomsticks has not been rebooted just so you can do a family-friendly, everyone can get excited about magical suits of armor punching a Nazi in a throat. Real scene from Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Yep. The best.
I always think of Bedknobs and Broomsticks. It wasn't the first time I saw it, but when we visited my Uncle Harold in Alabama after he moved from Tennessee, the first thing we did when we got there is they put us down in his basement because he had cable television. And they're like, here, just We're going to be doing adult things upstairs. You just watch the cable television. And we watched Bedknobs and Broomsticks on WTBS, the superstation.
Oh, holy crap. A stage musical adaptation of Bedknobs and Broomsticks is set to debut in 2019.
Nice. Oh, that's the first step. And then it becomes a movie out of that.
I just got very excited about this.
You're on your way.
You don't even know what that is.
And when I say adult things, I'm not trying to be euphemistic. I just don't know.
They were like, you're not talking about NC-17 things.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing.
Things that kids don't
probably
do.
Talking about their 401k.
Playing bridge.
Their pensions.
If you hear any loud noises, canasta or something. Don't come upstairs.
No, it wasn't like that. That's what I'm trying to not say.
They were balancing their checkbooks.
No, they just wanted to be able to curse. They wanted
probably.
To be able to
have cursing while balancing their checkbooks.
They were probably sharing stories about your family they didn't want you to know.
Something like that. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. Isn't that the truth?
You know, you cousin know? Wade, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you don't have you get to a certain age and like everyone's you didn't know that cousin Wade was like, you know, had gone to prison several times. You're like,
did you realize cousin Wade is your uncle? Dun dun dun
dun dun.
But he's younger than me. Dun dun dun.
Hey Roger, what's the title of the show?
Dun dun dun.
Okay.
Hacky McHack.
Well, hold on. Let me look. Look at Showbot.
There's also four star store is good enough.
Good enough. Good enough for Amazon. It's good enough for me.
No spamming the reviews here. And Amazon's four-star loss leader.
I make a four-star.
Hi, buddy.
You don't like this?
No, tell me what it is. What is it?
All right, Amazon's four-star loss leader.
I like it.
I like it.
Sounds like something from Star Search.
Oh, Star Search.
So, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, currently unavailable to stream... But you can purchase it from Amazon, Apple, or Google. And rent it from YouTube and Sony. I would take a guess that that's probably going to be on the Disney thing when they launch it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Justin, did we talk about Flora Bamishore before? And are you watching it or no?
I have not watched Flora Bamishore. But,
darn it.
Is it good?
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. But it's so bad that I want to talk about it with somebody I know Tom and Roger can watch.
Well, so I only know about that show because it was parodied on SNL. Before that point, I did not realize it was an actual show.
So here's the funny thing about the show. It's an MTV show, right? And the idea of Floribama is like it's, you know, the panhandle of Florida, which is, you know, Tom mentioned Alabama earlier, so it was in my mind, and it's basically Panama City people partying. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's a real world type of thing where a bunch of strangers are now living in a house and getting to know each other. But like, they all really love each other in a way that I find really sort of adorable and endearing, even though the entire show is about like, let's go party and get drunk, you know, night after night, where that's we've done this show a million times, but I kind of love these people.
That was kind of always the secret sauce with Jersey Shore, right? Is
exactly,
that
yes? That you actually, you know, you start sort of getting attached to the fact that they really do seem like they're friends.
That was funny because I was reading an oral history of the original seasons of Jersey Shore, and which. Either the producer or one of the cast made mention that the show really comes together because it's one thing like the debauchery is the debauchery and that's what everybody's going to talk about. But for people to come back, they're unsympathetic unless you have those scenes on Sunday when they all cook dinner together. And
right. Like, you know, and they say, we're not friends, we're family.
Yeah. And then everyone's kind of half hungover. And at some point somebody says like, hey, bro, look, you know, I really wasn't, I didn't mean it, bro. You know, you're my family, bro. Like, and that's it. Like, It makes sense.
Pass the pasta. Yeah.
Honestly, it's the same reason I enjoy Terrace House.
Right.
Totally different in every other way, right? They don't scream at each other. It's always like, you do not have enough goals. You're making me cry. You know, it's a totally different dynamic. But it is that you get the feeling that these people really care about each other.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, yeah.
And they get really sad when one of them leaves the house and they all like stand around and cry and throw goodbye parties. And yeah.
I mean, and let me, you know, again, not to sugarcoat it, Fleur Bamachur is not a good show. It is not. It is exactly what you think it's going to be, but it's somehow endearing in a way where I kind of want to, I like these people.
This is what my one instructor at the community college I went to talked about, like television production, whatever you do, documentary, scripted drama, reality show, it's got to have heart. It has to have that one hook that makes you emotionally connected to whatever happens on the screen.
Well, and I think, a lot of us who have worked on shows in the past that are like not reality shows, but shows that are based on people's real personalities, we understand the value of that.
There is
something to that, not only for the people on the show, but for the people off of the show who say, I think I know you and I like that.
Well,
you know,
those shows are always, you're always modeling either who you are and who your friends are, or if you've ever known somebody like that, if there's ever been a time in your life where these kind of things are there, and nobody wants to remember the ugly moments. They want to remember, you want to think good about these people. You want to, if you're modeling them on yourself, which is just human behavior, then you want them to be like, oh, this is like that fun, crazy time that, like, now that I'm going through it now, or I can relate to it in the past, where it's like, oh, okay. But I would like friends like that. If they all came together and said, bro, we're family, bro. You know that.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, flawed people are just generally a lot more, I wouldn't say charismatic, but a lot more engaging.
Flawed people, otherwise known as people.
Everybody.
Well,
yeah.
Well, that's what I said. It's like, well, for the longest time.
Well, tortured artists, you could.
Heroes were always, well, they might have their flaws. They were just, you know, there was a set standard. They could never fall off the pedestal of being a hero. And then, you know, over time, you know, all the flaws are what became what made the hero, instead of despite them. And so it's a very interesting, you know, thing I see about the way people look up or look at people.
Speaking of flaw, well,
Floribama.
Going away from Floribama Shore for a second. Although I can't wait to go to Panama City one day.
Still,
wow.
it still sounds so like fun. A honky tonk. Like bar you would go to during.
Sarah, you can wait. No rush.
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, I'll get there someday.
One day.
But I did, Anthony Bourdain, who's like one of my like absolute like just TV heroes times a thousand. I had never seen the Kenya episode of Parts Unknown. Uh-huh. And I don't know if any of you have. But he had another, it was another CNN host or somebody who does.
Was that the W. Camu Bell episode?
It was. Yes. Thank you. And I just hadn't seen it. And it is very moving. Really. Like, if you like, you know, knowing about Kenya and safaris and Nairobi and the whole thing. But it is. It is really, I don't know. I was quite moved by it. I watched it yesterday. And if anyone hasn't seen it and likes that sort of content, I would highly recommend it.
I just wrapped up the second season of Glow last night.
And?
I love the show. It's great.
So good. I know. This is
the thing. I watched Glow as a kid when it was on Saturday morning TV and then made its slow trek to like 1 a.m. you know, in the morning, you know, for some reason. But I love it. It's just like, you know, it's a mixture of many things, but it's what you were saying. It's like you feel connected to all the cast members in some facet. And because I'm of that era, of that generation. A lot of the stuff that they do probably resonates more with me than, say, someone who might have missed it or only comes from it looking back at it as straight as solely as history, instead of like, oh, it's something you lived through.
Well, and I didn't realize that it was even based on anything. I mean, it could be it could be total fiction as far as I'm concerned, and I still think it's a great show.
I just, it's funny because I see all the characters, and it's a dramatization of the actual GLOW series that was done in the 80s, for anyone who doesn't know, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It was a really kitschy wrestling show that they did with all female cast of wrestlers. One of the things, besides the that they were all women, one of the things that they did was a hook was before the match, all the contestants would rap before. So if there are two people facing off, each one would give their kind of really bad musical rap before they got in the ring. And then you would have like these really this corny announcer who was also, I found out, was the producer of the show, would do all these things or say all these things in a very tongue-in-cheek manner. So everything was very lighthearted, even though, if you notice, the audience was like 99% like bunch of male guys. Just sitting around.
So,
well, when you call something Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, there's probably not going to be a lot of ladies.
No. I'll add this one thing. One of my mom's waitresses loved that show. She said, I love it more than the WWF. Back when it was WWF, because I think the women are more real. I think they're more into wrestling than the guys are. And that was why she liked it.
Well, Roger, have you seen the doc on Netflix?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have seen it. It's great with Mount Fuji, that kind of secondary story they do into it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome. And by the way, if you haven't ever seen the original GLOW, there's episodes on
YouTube
that are... There's a lot. I mean, I don't want to bore everybody about wrestling storytelling, my grand unifying theory on it. But I think there's a lot of stuff that they did in GLOW to cover up for the fact that the women were by and large actresses and stunt women and were not trained wrestlers or were learning. We're coming up to speed very quickly on it. That I think is brilliant and probably could be employed in a more modern context. But that show is great. And I have really been the sexual harassment subplot of that season, of the second season, and specifically who falls down on whose side, and then a revelation that I won't give toward the end of two characters kind of having a moment and the fallout from it. Like, that was, it's something that's like really stuck with me, is like one of my favorite things that I've watched on television this year. I will have a hard time thinking of a season of television that I thought was as well told and fun and true to itself as GLOW season two was.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is I was surprised at how the utter lack of cynicism in the characters, like of themselves. There was no kind of duplicitous nature where someone comes out at the end of the season, aha, I'm the villain. Kind of thing. There, it's a very heartwarming story, and I was really impressed at how well not just the story was told, but the pacing and the characterizations were all really just, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, there are very few mustache twirling villains. There's really only one that is there briefly, but other than that, even the characters that are acting badly, and there are several, you know, they are always. They are always complex, even if they're never forgiven by the story, they are explained by the story, and I think that's really all you can ask for.
Do you have a favorite episode of your year? Let us know if you're a video user by email feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you're an audio user, stick around. There's more to come.
More GLOW.
You just promised more GLOW, Roger, which now limits us to only talking about GLOW.
No, GLOW.
We could talk about the Deuce. Is everybody watching the Deuce season 2?
No, Roger said there's more GLOW, so now there's we can only talk about GLOW.
Okay.
Who are your favorite? So this is the thing about this, the dramatization. I tried to do the one-on-one and pick out who they are referencing, like for all the characters, like Liberty Bell is Americana, Beirut is Palestinian, what's her name is supposed to be Mount Fuji. I mean, like there's not all of them, but for some of the characters, there's a one-to-one you know, analog from the original series.
The two girls literally follow the same, like they were the old women and then they became toxic twins or whatever.
Old guy says the Deuce is barely softcore porn, Sarah.
It's not really softcore porn.
I haven't
seen
it.
It's a show about pornography.
Ah.
But you're not really...
But you don't see the...
Well, it's an HBO show, right?
Sure, okay.
You got your nudity.
Because, you know, even Game of Thrones, right?
Right, exactly. The show is, I don't know, if I could, like, loosely explain it. It's about how the pornography industry started in New York back in the late 70s, right? And how that empowered certain people that were not empowered before. Not my favorite show, but I find it very interesting. Not least, one of the weird things is that James Franco plays twin brothers in the show, but like the brothers are supposed to be both really screwed up for different reasons, but I can never tell the difference because it's like there's like the one brother who always wears the leather jacket and there's the other brother who has like longer hair, but like they're both screwed up in the same way and it makes no sense to me. Like, just make it one guy. One actor would have been fine. But I don't know. Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it and I don't know. No one else is watching it, apparently, so I don't really have anything more to say, but catch up and let me know what you think.
We just caught up just in time for the season 3 premiere tonight with The Good Place.
Oh, ooh. Yes, I need to watch that.
I didn't realize that was on season 3.
Yeah. I love that show. I don't know, there was some criticism with season 2, but I loved it. I actually had no problems with it.
I think it's a very unique show that kind of is literally
this is the Ted Danson Kristen Bell show, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure I got the show right.
Yeah, this the first scene is Kristen Bell wakes up and is explained by Ted Danson that she is in the afterlife. But don't worry, she's in the good place and not the bad place.
Right.
Yes. Things kind of go
draw your conclusions
from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show about ethical philosophy.
There's a lot of ethical philosophy. There's a lot of philosophy name drops. So if you are one of them philosopher folks, then man, is this show for you?
But let that turn you away because it's so good.
It is a very, very impressive show.
That was the unifying factor.
Roger's always the one saying, I don't watch shows. I don't have
time. Well, that's the thing.
But you
like,
clearly are watching lots of shows.
No, if I watch something, it's because I think it's really good. But like there's a lot of things I try to watch and I just like fall off. Okay.
Well, me too. Yeah. I watched the first couple episodes of a lot of shows and I'm like,
Well, Roger also is not getting any sleep. So what else is he going to do?
Yeah. Well, I can't really. Yeah. I can't watch anything.
You're up anyway. But you watch.
Yeah. Gotta be up with the baby.
And you know what? You know, with Hulu and stuff, like I can watch them. Like I don't need to sit and watch when it broadcasts. Like I can do the dad stuff and then watch it like the next day, which is great. Like that whole time shift without having to have a DVR, and then you know also have my wife, you know, be able to watch, you know, the various episodes different times is great. The future's fantastic. Where's my flying car?
Now I'm rereading the old guy said, no judgment, just an observation about Deuce being barely softcore porn. But now I'm reading it as the Deuce is barely softcore porn.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Or a complaint. Yeah. Like,
yeah. It up to like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, if you compared to Game of Thrones, it's tame. It's about the industry more than it's about showing the
industry. Well, and more, even more so from what I understand of it, it's more about that era of New York City, kind of like the intersection of crime and culture and
very much so.
It's like, kind of the East Coast glow in some ways because they're and bear with me because the stories aren't in any way related, but the background of the culture is that 70s LA that's dealing with the problems of LA is in the background. And it sounds like maybe that's the case with the Deuce.
Story that just came down the wire. Julian Assange has stepped down as editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, but has retained his publisher title and appointed Icelandic journalist Christian Rafnsson. Saying that right to replace him.
That sounds like making reality official. Like,
didn't even realize he was still editor-in-chief of anything.
I mean, I guess he can be editor-in-chief from anywhere, even if he's stuck in an embassy for years, but yeah. If you can't really take a lot of meetings, you can't fly to conferences, it's going to restrict your ability.
Apparently WikiLeaks issued a statement saying that Assange's departure was due to the extraordinary circumstances of him being able to communicate with anybody but his lawyers for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Which one would think, yeah, well, that's...
That would make it harder for you to do your job.
Yeah, really would.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Quarterly analyst. And what's this? Sorry, I was just looking at the calendar.
That's all right. Should we just wrap up then? Anybody got anything else before we say goodbye to the good folks of Discord?
Otis, do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
For yourself? Audie? He says, no, I'm going to just sleep through this.
All right.
Yep.
Good for you, Otis.
Poor Oat.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening and hanging out with us. We hope that you have a good day.
Have a good day.
We sure do. Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.